you for all that you've done for us. And Father, as that last song spoke, Father, in response to that, Father, we want to give our all for you. Father, we thank you for who you are. Amen. Please have a seat. I'm just going to read to us from Mark chapter 10, and then Carl will come and share with us. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road.
Great, thank you, Andy. That's reading from Mark. And you may also want to look up Luke chapter 18, the same story, but a few little differences along the way, interesting to compare and contrast. Through this morning, you've probably got a slip. You might want to use that to make note of the things that we can learn. There's spares in the baskets as well. Some people learn best by writing down for themselves, so that's a little aid, if that's your learning style, then make use of that. But we're thinking about Bartimaeus, and there's a crowd. There's Bartimaeus, there's Jesus. Jericho is not far away. But let's get into the story with a little bit of interactive storytelling. I wonder which side is more joyful than the other. I think this side is the yay Jesus side, feeling happy about yourselves. You're really pleased that Jesus has come to your town, to Jericho. And yeah, hallelujah, there's going to be a banquet, a celebration for sure. It's wonderful. You've heard about this Jesus. He's coming into town, or he's just leaving, depending on which version you read. And you're really happy about that. It's wonderful. And so you want to shout out today, hooray for Jesus. Okay, can we do that together? We need to do it loud because you're the crowd at the side of the road shouting out, hooray for Jesus. Are we ready? Hooray for Jesus. That's pretty good. But this side, of course, you are Bartimaeus. And you are sitting in the dirt. And you are blind. And, of course, if you're sitting in the dirt and you're blind, what's going to happen is that people are going to come and they're going to kick you. They're going to push you and shove you. It's not very nice. You're a bit fed up with that. But you have heard that Jesus is coming along the road, and you've got an inkling, a suspicion, something has planted a thought in your blind-eyed head that Jesus can have mercy on you. And so you want to shout out, "Have mercy on me." Okay, can you do that? "Have mercy on me." But let's put some feeling into it, because you've been sitting in the dirt in this road for years and you're fed up with it, quite frankly. You want mercy. You want your life to change. So,
have mercy on me.
But the crowd have none of that. The crowd are not interested in that. They're not interested in some beggar sitting by the side of the road. You just want to shout, "Hooray, Jesus." And so you say to Bartimaeus, you say, "Shut your face." Okay, can you do that? Right, because you're cheering on Jesus and all you're interested in is Jesus and the banquet and the beer that comes later. So you're going to shout, "Shut your face." Ready? After three. One, two, three.
Shut your face.
Thank you. Yes, see, that's put you in your place, rude indeed. But Bart is not deterred. He shouts even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can we do that together? Son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah, that's the story. See, and it's interesting that Bartimaeus is using that term, son of David, a royal term. Someone born of the royal line, a Messiah term. Bartimaeus has understood somehow that this Jesus is in that royal line. He's the anointed one. He's the sent one from God. And he's calling out for mercy to him because he knows from his Old Testament history that David was a good, godly king. And what would David have done? David would have seen him and had mercy. And he calls out, "Son of David, do as David did. Have mercy on me." Bartimaeus, his name means son of filth. The son of filth calls out to the son of David, "Have mercy on me." Well, amongst all the noise and all the stuff going on, and all this cheering and shouting backwards and forth, Jesus stops and looks round and he hears this man Bartimaeus calling out to him. And he says to the crowds, "Call him over, bring him to me." See what he does there? That's clever, that is brilliant. Because the crowds just treated him like his name describes. They treated him like filth and just said, "Shut your face," and had no time for him. But Jesus stops for the one. And then turns everything upside down by getting the crowd to escort him to Jesus. In other words, making the crowd the lowly foot soldiers to escort Bartimaeus into his royal presence as a guest of the kingly line. Turns it upside down. It's brilliant. Brilliant. Gets the crowd to bring him to him. The son of filth brought to the son of David, the son of God. You see, with Jesus, every incident can be a learning episode. Every moment, everything that happens is an opportunity for people to learn, for the crowd to learn, for the disciples to learn. That Jesus stops for the one. The priorities of who's who is completely different in the kingdom of God. The crowd get it wrong. They've made their mistake. Jesus corrects their mistake by turning things upside down. The blind man jumps to his feet and comes. But then Jesus asks him a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" It's like, duh, Jesus, you're thick or what? He's blind. It's obvious what he wants. It's obvious, isn't it, that he's going to want his sight back? Well, actually, this is a really clever question. It's a really good question that Jesus asks him. Let me give you two reasons why. The first is that Jesus is meeting Bartimaeus in his space, empowering him, saying, "Look, what is it that you want?" That's the golden rule of community development. Is working with someone, not doing to someone. Finding out how to get alongside them and work out, help them to articulate their vision, their dream. The golden rule of community development is to do that. But the second reason is that a fact of their culture and their time is that there were professional beggars. And there were professional beggars because the Jewish people, and probably others besides, had a religious duty to give to the poor. And so the professional beggars would be more than happy to help people fulfill their duty in giving to the poor. And when someone came along the road and the beggar would say, "Oh, have mercy on me, give us some coins or something," and someone thought, "Ah, yes, I need to give this week, I haven't done that yet, give some money to this blind man, a deserving case," then the blind man would jump to his feet and make a fuss up, "Blessed are you before God, you have given, and this is wonderful," make a real fuss of him, a real show. Do you remember back, those of you who know Jesus and his big sermon, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. What does Jesus say? When you give, don't make a show of it. Give in secret if you have to, rather than having a show of it. Because there would be these showcase scenarios on the streets of the cities with professional beggars ready to help you fulfill your duty to the poor and jump up and make a fuss of you. And so, okay, yes, it would mean sitting in the dirt day after day. It would mean that people kick you and shove you. But if you were blind on the main road in and out of a city like Jericho, you could make a living. You could eke out your survival. So Jesus saying, "What do you want?" It's like, well, if he's been born blind, he's never learned a skill. He's never learned a trade. So if he was to suddenly receive his sight, he wouldn't be able to beg anymore. He'd have to take responsibility for his life and get a job. So what do you want? Do you want that? Or are you happy in this kind of begging business that's going on? It's an empowering question. Again, a rule of community development is to help people take responsibility for their own lives. And so it's a good question, a very good question. Now, often when I'm with people and they've got multiple needs or concerns and that, I say to them, just tell me the one thing that you really want God to do for you. The one thing. I do that in the food bank. If I'm talking to someone, I just get a sense that they'd be open to be prayed with and to pray for. Oh, and they've got all this stuff going on, benefits and debt and whatever. I say to them, look, tell me just one thing, the one thing you'd really like God to do for you today. And they yam and ah a bit, they come up with something. I say, that's fantastic. I'm going to pray in faith in the name of Jesus for that one thing. Ask the one thing that they really want. Well, Bartimaeus, having had this clever question, his reply is simply stunning. He says, "Rabbi," or the Luke version, "Lord, I want to see." It's stunning because Bartimaeus has moved from Son of David, the royal Messiah title, to Jesus, "You are my master teacher. You are Lord." Bartimaeus wants his physical sight. But he can already see that Jesus has the power to do this, that Jesus is Lord. Bartimaeus can already see so much more than most of the rest of the crowd, maybe even the disciples too. It's like a little detour. This is just an aside, a little round the block. You don't have to be an important person to see Jesus, to have a vision of who Jesus really is. A friend of mine, she trained with me at theological college. She now pastors a church just outside Ipswich. And about a year ago, she told me how one of her congregation literally had a vision of Jesus. Literally a vision of Jesus. And this lady is the cleaner. She's the cleaning person who does the cleaning in the church. And she had this vision of Jesus and how Jesus wanted to meet with the people in the church and for the witness across the whole of the city of Ipswich. And so my pastor friend, she took the cleaning lady to leaders' meeting. So you need to hear from my colleague here. She's seen Jesus and how he wants to work across this city. You don't have to be, in the world's eyes, the mega important person to have the vision of Jesus. Back to Bartimaeus. He sees that the person standing before him is the Lord's, that he has the power to do these things. Why so often do we not see that? Why do we not see that so many situations and scenarios, that he is Lord's and has the power to act? And so Jesus responds simply and directly, go. Receive your sight, in the Luke version. Your faith has healed you. Go, receive. It's kind of a command. Not the Star Trek Jean-Luc Picard, make it so, but more of a let it be so. But in saying let it be so, it's not passive either. He's kind of saying to Bartimaeus, look, now go and live in this new reality of having your sight. Go and live it. Go. Your faith has healed you. Go and enjoy it. Go with it. Get on with this business of being able to see. There's another little aside that we can learn today. See how Jesus commands, speaks the reality into being. So when we pray for healing, let us pray positively declaring what we imagine or figure that the healing should entail. Positively declare it. Now, this is not that we have magic or some kind of special in our words, but we're just doing as Jesus did. And because we don't want to presume on God, and we know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit in full measure, he could see exactly what his Father is doing. He's up there spiritually, we're not there. We know that there's a difference between Jesus and ourselves, but we just try and do Jesus as Jesus did, but don't presume on him. So what I say is may the muscles repair. May the vertebrae fall back into alignment to relieve this back pain. May the chemical imbalance right itself and your body may be whole again. May the physical thing be put right. Maybe if you've heard me pray with you, you've heard me pray like that. May the muscles repair, positively declaring what God can do in the name of Jesus. Messy Church Nativity, just before Christmas, we're all having tea, and one of the mums with her husband and young children was saying, I'm going to have to leave early. I'm really sorry. It's been a fantastic time today, but I'm just not feeling well, and I think I just really need to go home. Okay, well, sorry to hear that, but before you go, can I just pray with you? And prayed with this lady. May your stomach settle. May your physiology return to how it should be. May you find well-being. She comes to 2x2 the following Thursday, the Christmas party, and says, I got home and I felt perfectly fine. Because Jesus has the power to heal. So the outcome was that Bartimaeus received his sight. He was healed. Technical aside, the Greek word there is the same word as saved. Greek word sozo or something like that. It means saved, healing, salvation, restoration. All these things are intertwined in the same Greek words. Your faith has healed you. The faith has saved you, restored you. And then he says, the story says he did the most natural thing. He followed Jesus along the roads, became some kind of disciple. We don't know how much he stuck with it or for how long He followed, but he followed Jesus on the roads, becoming a disciple. Now, no, Jesus didn't say, your faith has healed you, so now sign up for this. Or book yourself on this course. It's only 6 weeks and it's this time, blah, 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 blah. Or make sure you do this, that, and other. He just said, your faith has healed you, go, and the person starts naturally following. See how it's gone from a glimmer of faith at the beginning of a story, and then the kingdom sign of receiving his sight, and that rapidly propels him onto the road of discipleship. A glimmer of faith plus a kingdom sign rapidly propels, it accelerates a person onto the road of discipleship. If I was to get a match out and light it and start setting light to this chair, you'd be all upset with me. But eventually, it would take some time. It would start smouldering the wood, and it would take a while to catch fire. If I had a long enough, big enough match, eventually I could set light to the wood on the chair. It'd take a long time, though. If I had a can of petrol and poured it on the chair and then took a match to it, it would go up in flames straight away. That's what the kingdom sign does. It's like the petrol thrown on the fire. It, woof, accelerates. The fire brigades, that's the term, isn't it, for fuel. If they investigate a fire and they think this caught fire a lot quicker than it should have done, there must have been an accelerant here, some fuel lying around that made it all go so quickly. That's what they're looking for. An accelerant. The kingdom of sign acts as an accelerant. Propels someone quickly from that glimmer to discipleship. And so around the city, as we look for kingdom life in all kinds of places, let us be open for kingdom signs with that kingdom life. For when God just pours on an accelerant onto the glimmer, flickering flame of faith, to let it just go woof and just move on so much more quickly. Let us look for kingdom signs as we long to see kingdom life around the city that will propel people onto the road of discipleship ever, ever so quickly. But the final thing for us to take away from this morning, the simple teaching point, if you forget everything else and if you leave the sheep behind or lose it or whatever, just remember this one thing. Be like Bartimaeus and see Jesus for who he really is. See him for who he really is. Does that all open up? A world of opportunities and a possibility of healing and restoring and helping people onto that road of discipleship. Let's pray.